All right, so tell us what's happening in this picture since the last one he was a best man in.
He's just trying to get a serious side. He's serious. He's looking for a special girl.
When Devin, the editor of the show, was visiting Maine this summer, she gave my boyfriend Ben and I a tour of her Tinder. I'm going to take a moment to specifically tell my mom, Tinder is an online dating app on your phone where you can swipe left or right on someone, depending on if you're interested in them or not. Left means no, you're not interested. Right means yes. Okay, back to Devin.
I think
I'm going to swipe left on that one.
Swipe left.
Stop putting that in my... Oh, Megan, tell us why Sterling is a great guy.
I'm not into guys.
I don't have the sharpest instincts when it comes to online dating. Naturally, I want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. When we look at a profile picture of a guy wearing a nice black suit, I just assume he's the best man at someone's wedding. If I was on Tinder, I'd probably swipe right on everyone.
She's so nice.
Very nice person.
It's a loser.
You're so nice, Megan.
I'm just saying people wouldn't know how to... They probably feel embarrassed.
Maybe I am a little too nice.
What are the things that you do like seeing?
Ooh, yeah. Wait, can we look at people's profiles who you match with?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the Clyde to my inner Bonnie. Like, not that funny, but the inner Bonnie's okay. From the northern woods of Maine. Look at that, guys.
Oh. So it's mostly, like, subtle, but, like, straightforward, concise.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of funny, but playful, but, like... Very self-assured and confident.
It seems like a really, I don't know, like luck of the draw that you both match and you both resonate.
No, usually the guys all swipe right and the girls have to be the ones that are discerning.
I never thought I would have to maneuver the online dating world until I found myself sifting through a sea of profiles in search of a perfect person for me. Be good at communicating. They don't complain. They love to dance and love Beyonce songs as much as I do. Don't worry. Ben and I didn't break up, but Millennial is looking for someone. At the beginning of July, I posted Millennial's first paid position, an apprenticeship right here in Maine. I've had a lot of help making the show from multiple editors, including Ben and Devin, but Ben has his own production company. Devin lives in New York City. And neither of them work on the show full time. And that's what I need. So I fire up my computer and I begin searching for the one.
It will take time and be a lot of work to find that perfect person, right?
I believe it.
When I tell Julie, my executive producer at Radiotopia, what I'm looking for, she's excited for me. But then she gives me a reality check.
You know, I think also because you can't point to resumes and say, oh, this experience makes you clearly.
Right.
You know, you're going to be investing some instinct.
Instinct. The kind of instinct that tells you when to swipe left and when to swipe right. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age and maneuvering your 20s. In the last episode, I published a job description for Millennial's first paid position, the beginning of a new chapter for the company and the show. But when I start getting flooded with applications, I realize how hard it is to judge people based on so little information. How can you tell who's the right match for you and your company when you haven't even met them?
Hillary Clinton has chosen Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia.
It's Saturday morning. I'm sipping coffee with my boyfriend Ben at our kitchen table, staring into an inbox that feels... unfamiliar. I've been procrastinating this moment for a few days, and Ben calls me out on it.
Why do you think you don't want to do this?
Because I don't want to reject people. And therefore, I don't want to choose people because I got to reject them. Plus, it just feels like more work.
This is fun.
I'm trying to get excited. I'm trying to put on some music.
When I created the posting for this position in July, I couldn't stop thinking about who would come along. I was basically outlining the exact person who I wanted to be working beside me. But now, 2 weeks later, I'm looking at our first wave of applications, and a part of me, the optimistic part of me, thinks maybe my perfect match will be in this pile. But then another part of me knows that choosing someone means judging all these people. And I'm dreading that.
All right, you're digging in.
Ben knows this about me, so he's volunteered to help.
What?
I'm just going to take over the keyboard here.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Here we go. Oh my God. Get excited.
They're so pumped.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Our goal is to choose someone in 3 weeks and have them start working by September 1st.
Dear Megan, that's nice.
Obviously, I'm easily impressed.
603, she's from New Hampshire.
And so is Ben.
Baked bread in New Hampshire. I did that.
Swipe right. We scroll down to our second email.
Yeah. I'm your person.
Yeah, I'm your person. What a line.
And then,
what an opening line.
I like the smiley face.
Yeah, I love the smiley face. Thanks. Click her photo. We're gonna creep.
Creep?
I can creep.
Yeah. Because we got Facebook.
Photos. Scroll.
I feel like I'm becoming a little more of an online dating expert. Creeping on people's social media, Googling them, putting in some time to do some deeper investigation. Facebook does always help.
I'm into the ring clay, piano, boots.
Swipe right. Already into this first round, and I can feel myself getting a little crazy with the swipe right. So Ben and I pour ourselves some more coffee. We lean forward in our chairs and we get down to business. Hard hats, high standards, perfect person. Where are you?
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Chicago.
Minnesota. Cali.
Transom.
People who misspell their names, swipe left.
I feel like for me, it's like enthusiasm for the show is like top priority.
Hey, I came to this saying like that.
I know you did.
People who are excited about millennial, swipe right.
The only way I've ever gotten a job is if I've said how much I want to be with that organization.
You are the one and only.
I think I've said that. I mean, I've said things like, I'll clean the toilets.
You said that?
I said that. I said that to get a job. I meant that. And then I got it.
To whom it may concern. My name is Megan.
People whose cover letters are too stiff and formal, swipe left.
I don't know how many times I see the word I.
She just talks about herself.
She doesn't mention millennial until the final sentence.
And it's just one sentence.
People who talk about themselves way too much and don't mention the show until the last sentence, swipe left.
Literally, he says, serve millennial. He says those words. Yeah. That excites me. This excites me. Is this an in?
Yeah, I think this is an in.
All right.
People who talk specifically about what they're going to bring to the show, swipe right. People who sound desperate to get a job, any job, swipe left.
Yeah, I like that she has this bullet point list.
You love lists.
I do love lists. I love lists.
People who have clear, clean resumes, extra points. People who don't, points deducted.
She seems like she really wants to do radio.
People who have no experience in the audio industry or show any signs that this is definitely where they want to be, swipe left.
I feel like he did this on his own.
People who are making independent work and not getting paid, obviously I have a soft spot for that, swipe right.
Assisted in planning, producing, and promoting Tales from the South.
It's toward the end of July. Ben and I are in the car, and he's reading cover letters out loud to me.
Audio appears as guest commentator on the Spool Film Podcast. Write articles and artwork for Spool. There's like four O's. I don't know.
People who are already doing what you want to hire them to do, swipe right.
9, 10, 11, 12. We have 12 more.
How many have we gone through?
I think like 5.
Oh.
I'm losing my voice. Things are going to get raspy.
I can switch.
No, I love this. This is great. I hope I lose my voice.
You're so...
I love this more than a lot of things.
Why?
This is so much fun.
Why?
This is amazing. You're building a team. This is everything I love. Here we go.
Two days of going through applications and 41 swipes later, we're in the zone and I've accumulated some judging character with limited information instincts. But then, on day 3 of going through applications, we're sitting in front of the computer and our strategy starts to get fuzzy.
She doesn't really like
stand out.
Yeah.
But she may on the phone.
Maybe.
What do we think? Why is this?
It's tough because, like, they could have great personalities. They could just be, like, not look good on paper, you know?
An hour later, we open up another cover letter and resume.
I mean, I think all of these people will do a good job.
How do you know that?
Oh, I don't. But, I mean, like, I think they all have the opportunity to do a good job. And, like, they have the skill set. It's just, like, varying degrees of that skill set. Like, what you're actually looking for them to do is not a lot. It's just, like, how much do you actually want to be training these people? Some of these people, it sounds like you're not going to need to train at all, which is pretty dope. So it's hard to compete against those people.
At the beginning of this process, there was a clear distinction between those we swiped left on and those we swiped right on. But now we're seeing applications with the same amount of enthusiasm and the same amount of work experience. People are starting to blend together, and it's getting harder to make a call. That's when I realize what everyone who has ever online dated knows. It's a flawed system. On one side, people are trying to convey themselves in this really limited, somewhat unnatural way. And on the other side, you're trying to make a decision on whether or not they're the one, when you don't really know that much about them. Not that long ago, I was on the submitting application side, so I know what it feels like not to be chosen. And that sits in the back of my mind, too. Like, what if I miss someone? What if I swipe left on a person who's actually a really good fit, but doesn't stand out? And what if I swipe right on someone who looks good, but they aren't actually the right match? I never realized when people are online dating for the workplace, there are so many opportunities to swipe and get it wrong. And this is too important to get wrong. I need to know how to read between the lines of these applications and really see the person on the other side. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just curious, like, when you, like, your first impressions of cover letters, like, what is it that's...
Well, it is a serif font. No, I'm just kidding.
This is Julie again. She worked at her first job for 14 years, and each year they hired two interns. Someone like her knows exactly how to find the perfect person. I pull up a cover letter and I place it in front of Julie. No. I want to see what she sees.
Let's see. Okay, my first impression is fairly positive.
Oh, and why? What are you looking at?
You know, in the first paragraph, she identifies with the show personally. She's from the region, so she will likely not balk at moving. The phrase "creating audio art by the sea" has a nice ring to it, you know, instead of "I have a lot to offer your company."
You really look for people who can play with language.
I look for things in cover letters that are unique to this person writing this letter that I haven't read before. It can be a turn of phrase. It can be a sentiment. It can be a way something comes across. It's an intention, right? She crafted that sentence carefully, like a producer crafts a story. I mean, that's a transferable skill for me.
Julie continues reading.
There's something just a little timid about this.
Wait, why?
I would welcome the opportunity to speak with you further. You know, it's just a little cautious. She's not overflowing with tons of confidence about this letter. It could just be a little bolder. Mm. You know, I think it's okay to be bold in a cover letter. You just can't be too bold.
As I'm listening to her read through the cover letter, I realize how personal and subjective this all is. Julie may see this person as being timid, while someone else may see this person as being extra polite. It's like that day when we were going through Devin's Tinder.
Megan, tell us why Sterling is a great guy.
I'm not into guys.
I saw that one guy in a suit, and I assumed he was the best man at someone's wedding, but no one else saw him like that. There's no exact science to hiring someone, and there's no real way to know whether or not you're making the right decisions about people. This process isn't necessarily fair. It's human. When Julie says, I'm going to be investing some instinct in finding the right person for me, she means I'm going to be going on my gut reaction. Will Maya Gutt find me the one to share an office mini fridge with? We'll find out. But first, a short break. Support for Millennial comes from Glossier, a beauty brand with a skin-first, makeup-second approach to beauty. They make easy-to-use skincare products that give you healthy-looking skin, plus everyday makeup to enhance what you already got going on. I'm not naturally a makeup girl, mostly because I wasn't taught how to put on makeup growing up, but I recently watched a handful of videos and people are saying that your eyebrows are the most important feature. When I tried Glossier's Boy Brow, which is this creamy wax formula you put on your eyebrows to make them look thicker and fuller, I was really shocked at how they enhance the rest of my features. What I like about it is it's quick, and it doesn't make my eyebrows feel crunchy or stiff. You can get 20% off your first purchase by visiting glossier.com, G-L-O-S-S-I-E-R.com, and use the promo code MILLENNIAL, 2 L's, 2 N's, to support the show and upgrade your beauty routine. Yeah, but still, I mean, that shows that she, like, if we were going to do the story, she'd already have half of it done.
True.
Yeah, and that's what I like about pitches.
Okay.
I know you love it's the first week of August, and things are moving pretty quickly. Ben and I are burning through piles of applications. We both know we're running out of time to narrow down our top picks if we want to bring someone onto the show by September 1st.
All right, great. Let's narrow that down, baby. We're getting to the top five. It's top five time. It is top five time. Top five time. All my favorites are coming back, and I get to look at them, and that's exciting. All my favorite people, put in top five. Put them in the top five. She was the first one to put an application, and she said, I'm your girl, and she was right. So put her at the top of the list.
Is that? Water still on?
That one is going back on, because I need some more tea in my life.
Can I have some too?
You cannot. I guess so. If we should
what? Have some chocolate.
After Ben and I break for snacks, we go and open Millennial's inbox, guns a-blazing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15.
We're going to get it down to 5?
Right now.
Not 10.
No, 5.
Out of 75 applications, Ben and I narrow it down to 5. And I immediately send out emails and schedule interviews. I try not to go in with any expectations. But it's hard. I imagine sharing a mini fridge with this person, making each other coffee in the early mornings, bouncing ideas off of each other, mixing our handwriting on the whiteboard. I'll make the lists, and this person will check off the tasks. And when a millennial episode is getting really stressful, we'll order pizza, have Beyoncé dance parties during our breaks, and then go back to work. I'm going to ask you this thing that I ask everybody. Do you mind if I record our conversation?
That was going to be one of my questions to you. You're going to record, yeah.
Yeah, always. Thank you so much for sending in an application. Thank you so much for applying. In 2 weeks, I interview 11 people. I have second interviews with 4, and I call 12 references. Why do you feel like you are, like this is a good fit for you? These phone calls, they're kind of like first dates. Everyone's a little nervous, and we're both trying to make a good impression.
The kinds of stories that you're telling now, they are the kinds of things I'm like, yeah, that's awesome, that's beautiful, that's cool, that's like stuff that people have felt.
Honestly, having independently produced, like a passion project that's independently produced, is something that I've always wanted to do myself and also be a part of.
What is this dream that feels almost unreachable? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's something I've been thinking a lot about. So I think the most honest and direct way I can answer that is to tell you a little bit more sort of about my background.
While people are talking, I close my eyes and I listen to their voice. And I try to pay close attention to my gut.
No. My boyfriend is from Lake Sunapee area.
Okay, I don't know New Hampshire that well.
That's okay, it's okay.
There are a few people I am considering, a few people I'm really excited about. But then, instead of one person rising to the top, the opposite happens.
You want someone very soon to be out there?
I do, yeah.
It's not me.
All of a sudden, people who are at the top of my list are withdrawing their applications. Out of 11 people I spoke to, 6 of them weren't ready to commit. That's more than half. Going into the hiring process, I assumed when people apply for a job, that's an automatic swipe right. But I was wrong.
Well, can I tell you what's been happening?
Yeah, tell me.
This is Julie again.
So I've been going through all these applications and people have just been dropping out.
I was so focused on finding the right person for me, I didn't even consider that I might not be the right person for them. If this were Tinder, this would be the part where I swipe right and the other person swipes left.
Do they say, I actually realize this is too intense for me or not intense enough?
Or they don't want to move. Mm. A lot of it is they don't want to move.
That's frustrating.
And then a lot of people have been scooped up by other companies.
Yeah.
That's been interesting. We'll have a second interview with someone and I'll be like, this is the person. They're great. And then all of a sudden they email me and say, I've gotten promoted.
Yeah.
And they're going to give me money and this is better.
Obviously, it's better to know we're not a good match for each other before we dive into a dedicated relationship and before someone packs up their car and moves their whole life to an obscure corner on the East Coast. But it doesn't mean I don't question myself.
I often ask myself, like, am I scaring them away with my follow-up questions? Like, because I'm kind of am saying,
pushing it a bit.
Yeah, I am pushing. And I'm also asking people, like, what are their big untouchable goals? And how does millennial fit into that?
Yeah.
And I'm also asking them to commit, you know, in a way that's like, this is a growing position. Ideally, I would love to have someone here longer than 6 months. It's not a burden turn internship. And so a part of me is like, oh, is that scaring people away?
When I think back to those first dates on the phone, I wonder if maybe they couldn't see the real me. Maybe I didn't make a good first impression. It's the third week of August. My hope is to have someone start working for Millennial by September 1st. But that's looking less realistic. September 1st is 2 weeks away. It's hard to believe that a month ago I had a pile of applications, and now here I am with no match.
Shows, there's this whole producing section, and in that section, I created a grad school program.
That day, I'm in Boston, speaking about Millennial to a group of people at PRX's podcast Garage, which is awesome. That's my little plug. And after the event, there's this woman who comes up to me. She's wearing a black dress, huge smile, and she introduces herself. I know her. Kind of. I know of her. She called me up once to bounce a story idea off of me, and I called her up for feedback when Millennial had first launched. But this is the first time we ever met in person. As we're talking, we're both laughing, and I can tell there's just something that clicks. There's chemistry between us, like good chemistry. I can totally imagine working with this woman. And I feel like she's told me she's been job hunting. It's like after all of this online dating and swiping back and forth, I close down my apps, go to a bar with some friends, and there, that's where I find the one. I casually mention the apprenticeship position to her, and then we part ways. 3 days later, I call her up. And I give her my spiel. I may be interested in her, but was she interested in me and Millennial?
I really am looking to, like, invest in people. who want to invest in the show. And so ideally for me, like me and this other person would be like essentially raising a child together.
I did just say that. And yeah, that may come off a little bit strong, but it's the truth.
You know, and like that child's name is Millennial. yeah, we would be building the show. For me, the goal would be to be able to have enough funds to hire this person on full time in the future, you know. Mm-hmm. That is like a dream. So,
and part of that comes with like, all right, let's build the funds to do that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that all sounds really exciting to me, honestly. Like, that sounds like kind of a dream scenario. Like, when I was just thinking about, what I ideally want, and it was like, I want to work, like, on a really, like, a small team. I would prefer badass ladies and working on, like, a passion project, like, something that we really believed in together.
She swipes right! I have her submit her resume, cover letter, a story pitch, and she sends along a list of references. A week passes. Ben and I read through her application, and then I swipe. Well, so I have a question for you. How do you feel about becoming Millennial's first apprentice?
Isn't that good?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
So I would love for you to come on the show, and I think it won't always be easy, but...
Nothing ever is.
You know, but hopefully we can have dance parties to, like, you know, ease the tension.
Yeah, I'm so on board with that.
Finding someone you like isn't easy, and finding someone who likes you back is even harder. But every now and then, the stars do align. Maybe you catch each other's eye at a party, or you have a mutual friend in common, and you both swipe right. And then you take that first tentative step toward a relationship that might one day mean sharing an office, a mini fridge, and raising a podcast together. Devin Taylor edited this episode. You heard the voices of Lisa Cantrell, Brita Green, Justine Paradise, James Perla, Ben Severance, Julie Shapiro, and Devin Taylor. To keep up with Millennial, follow us on Twitter at MillennialPDCST, like podcast, but without the vowels, Facebook, or on Instagram. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.
Radiotopia from PR.